of wheat. And I called it the wheat loaves that were waved in Leviticus 23:15-22, which will be our consideration for this morning. Now, this feast would be the result of the Feast of First Fruits. And both of them should be connected because they come under the division, and the Lord spoke unto Moses. This evening, I shall be dealing with a topic separate from the feast, because this is a separate meeting to remember those who were chained and are freed. And in this particular case, it will refer to birds that were, well, sort of chained and then got their freedom as they soared into the sky. And that will be dealt with this tonight when we study the birds that were bloody. Right, so very quickly then, today, the wheat loaves that were waved. Now remember, this is connected with the Feast of First Fruits, which speaks of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we discussed that in great detail with reference to his resurrection yesterday night. Now, the Feast of Weeks, what can we learn from there? First and foremost, let us be aware that this feast has many other names. For example, it is also known as the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Weeks in Leviticus 23, verse 15. And why is it known as such? It is known as such because this feast was to be kept 7 weeks after the Feast of First Fruits. And therefore, you see the connection. Without the Feast of First Fruits, you cannot keep the Feast of Weeks, because the Feast of Weeks would begin with the Feast of First Fruits. 7 weeks after the Feast of First Fruits, then the Feast of Weeks would be kept. It is also known as the Feast of Harvest, because that's a time when they will harvest the wheat grain would be ripe, and they, the first ripe sheaf of first fruit will be given unto the Lord. As the first sheaf of barley in the Feast of First Fruits was to be given unto the Lord. And so you see the connection. It is also known as the Feast of Harvest. Then it is also called the Day of the First Fruits. As I pointed out, both the Feast of First Fruits and the Feast of Weeks have to do with the first fruits. The first sheaf of barley that was ripe must be offered to the Lord before anyone could even take any of the harvest. It is also known as Pentecost, and this is very important. Why is it known as Pentecost? Well, from the Greek, pente means 50. And it is held on the day 7 weeks after the Feast of First Fruits. 7 weeks will be 7 times 7, 49. Plus 1 will be 50th. And that will be the day of Pentecost. And that's why it's called Pentecost, the 50th day. Now, it is found in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, as I pointed out just now. And the day of Pentecost was fully come. What is the significance of that phrase? We shall find out later on. So, the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, as it is known in the Greek, began 50 days and the first fruits after the Feast of First Fruits. Right. Let us begin. The association and application of the feasts of Pentecost, of the first fruits and the weeks. Both, as I pointed out, came under the division the Lord spoke unto Moses. So we are not at liberty to separate the two feasts, because the Lord has joined them together under division, and the Lord spoke unto Moses. They are one, What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Because the resurrection of Christ must result in the Feast of Weeks. And what is the Feast of Weeks? We shall find out. The association. The first fruit was the foundation of the Christian. For anyone to become a Christian, he must believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a challenge in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 17 to 20. That if you believe not that Jesus is not risen from the dead, then you are the most miserable. No one who calls himself a Christian can ever say, I do not believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you do so, you are of all people most miserable. And that's the challenge that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, what is the Feast of Weeks? The Feast of Weeks will be the formation of the church. Now, we look at Acts 2:1 now. When the day of Pentecost was fully come. Now, I'm using the King James Version. There are many of you perhaps who use modern translations like NIV and others. What is the difference? The King James Version translates the original to the language that it uses literally. And sometimes it must not make any sense. For example, a rich man cannot go into heaven. It is as hard as for a camel to go through a needle's eye. Now, that's literal. All right? But modern translations have translated the scriptures to give the sense so that you can understand. But when they give you the sense, the problem is it is most likely their sense of what they think it means and not what it actually means. So we need to be careful. And it's said that in many translations that the word fully in Acts chapter 2 verse 1 is missing. When the day of Pentecost was fully come. In other words, when the day of Pentecost was observed, 50th day after the Feast of First Fruits, and you would know that the Feast of First Fruits would be kept on the Sunday, the first day of the week, after they had gone into the land, 50th day after that would still be a Sunday. And that Sunday, the first day of the week, the Holy Spirit came down and the church was formed. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, it could not be on the 49th day. It could not be on the 51st day. The Holy Spirit must come down on the 50th day after the Feast of First Fruits, because that would be the fulfillment of the scriptures as pointed out in Leviticus chapter 23. So that's the association. And we have the church. The Feast of First Fruits is the result of the Feast of First Fruits. The Feast of Weeks, sorry, was the result of the Feast of First Fruits. The church was formed after the foundation of the Christian had been set up, who believes in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So both come under the same division, the association. And the application is the risen Christ made all this possible. The descent of the Comforter, Christ said in John chapter 16 and verse 7, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. And so the Lord Jesus Christ had to go away, the Feast of First Fruits. And then the Holy Spirit will come down, the Feast of Weeks, the Pentecost. Oh, I forgot something important. In connection with the Acts chapter 2 verse 1, the day of Pentecost was fully come. In other words, no one can ever pray, oh Holy Spirit, come down, come down, come down. He cannot come down one day earlier. He cannot come down one day later. He must come down on the 50th day after the Feast of First Fruits. That is important that we must know concerning the descent of the Holy Spirit to form the church. And then he comes in to dwell in the Christian Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. So that those who have believed in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ now have the Holy Spirit in them because they believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The dominance of Christ over the church. And because the church has been formed and Christ has risen, Christ is now become the head of the church. So that we read in Colossians 1:18, we should give him the preeminence in all things in the church. And that's why today we need to own and to acknowledge Christ, give him all honor and praise because he is the head. This resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is fully documented in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We have no time to go into it, but the Lord had appeared to over 500 people, some of whom were still alive, to show evidence of his resurrection. So it is a documented fact, and there are many arguments that Paul had listed in order to prove to us that Christ indeed was resurrected. Why is that important? Because if Christ did not rise again from the dead, then all other people who believe in him could not ever rise again. He would be the first fruits who rose again from the dead. And if he was the first fruits who rose again from the dead, then there will be others who would follow him. Because being the first fruit, he will be the first. There will be others to follow. So the dead in Christ would arise. Right. Both were called first fruits. The Feast of First Fruits. And we learned that another name for the Feast of Weeks would also be the Day of First Fruits. Now, the sheaf was the sample of the harvest. In John chapter 12, verse 24, it says that except a seed fall into the ground, it dieth, and then after that it germinates, and it will spring up into life. And it will bear much fruit. Much fruit. And the much fruit will be the Feast of Pentecost. The loaves were the substance of the harvest. First fruits, the sheaf. That one sheaf. The first one to be given unto the Lord. The rest of the harvest. What is the application? How does it apply to us then? 1 Corinthians 15, we are told that the sheaf was Christ, the first fruits in resurrection. Verse 20, 1 Corinthians 15, that Jesus was the first fruits. Then we also read in that verse, now is Christ risen from the dead and becomes the first fruits of them that slept. Those who sleep, meaning those who have died, will now be able to follow. Why? Because Christ has risen from the dead, and if Christ has risen from the dead, and if Christ is in them, then Christ will raise them again from the dead. So this is the wonder of our hope. The loaves, therefore, will point to the church, the first fruits of his redemption. Now, I'd like you to note, and here is where we must pay careful attention to certain words that are found in Scripture in the text. And this is where I refer to my King James Version. And I'm not sure whether these words are found in your version, but I'm sure you that it's there. James chapter 1:18 has this to say, of his own free will he brought us forth by the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits. The church is a kind of first fruits. I'm not sure whether it is in your version, but I hope it is. Because the church is not the first fruits. The church is a kind of first fruits. The first fruit is Jesus Christ. And it is that precise and it is that accurate in the scriptures. Concerning not only the past with regard to the feasts, concerning also the future with regard to its fulfillment. And so we read that the church is a kind of first fruits. We can look at it another way. The chief is Christ the firstborn among many brethren, as we read in Romans 8:29. Among many brethren. Then we read in Hebrews 12:23 that we are a church of the firstborn. Jesus was the first fruits. He was, resurrected from the dead, and he became the first among all his brethren. We are the church of the firstborn, and we follow, and we read that in Hebrews 12:23. Now, he is sort of the eldest brother, and we are his brethren. Chapter 2, verse 11. He has sanctified us, and he is not ashamed to call us brethren. Chapter 2 and verse 11. He is not ashamed to call us brethren, because he is the leader of the church of the firstborn. And he brings us before God, and he says that he is not ashamed to own us as brethren. In other words, he's our brother. But have we the right to call him, "Hello, brother. Thank you very much for saving us." Have we a right to address him as a brother? No. He is not ashamed to call us brother. But we need to acknowledge that he is the head of the church, and he has said, "You call me master and Lord, you do well, for so I am." We cannot take the friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ, so to speak, to make ourselves too familiar with him without respect. So as we come into the presence of the Lord, and as we know that he is the first fruit of the firstborn of the church, let us realize that he must still be given the reverence, to be given the preeminence in all things. Both first fruits and the weeds are committed to God by waving. The priest would take the sheaf of first fruits, waved it before the Lord. The priest would also take the loaves that would be offered and wave them before the Lord for the Feast of Weeks. Association and application. Now, the waving would signify the descent of the Holy Spirit and the role and responsibility of the Holy Spirit. Christ was raised by the Holy Spirit, and the church will be raised by the same Spirit that raised the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:11 is very clear that the same Spirit that raised the Lord Jesus Christ will raise the church, will raise us. And that's why it's important that we keep in mind that the Holy Spirit indwells us. Without the Holy Spirit indwells us, we would not be able to be raised from the dead, because that Spirit raised Christ from the dead, and that Spirit will also raise us from the dead. Both were celebrated on the same day, on the morrow after the Sabbath, Leviticus 23, verse 11, verse 16. Now, as I pointed out yesterday, up to now, all the important days, of all the important days in connection with Jewish worship, it was always the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day, the feast of Passover and the feast of unleavened bread, there were Sabbaths connected with the celebration of these two feasts. But when it came to the feast of first fruits and the feast of weeks, it states very specifically that they were to be observed on the day, on the next day after the Sabbath. The Sabbath has been put aside. Now, this is a wonderful thing, because we cannot even imagine in the Old Testament the first day of the week should be mentioned at all. We can never imagine that, because the Old Testament would have to do with the Jews, and the "thou shalt keep the Sabbath" is in the Ten Commandments. But here we see the change. Because of the first fruits, because of the week Pentecost, there's a change. The observation of these two feasts must be on the first day of the week. And that first day of the week would be Sunday. That's very important to see how it is going to be fulfilled later on. Christ rose again on the first day of the week. And that's why the Feast of First Fruit must be held on the Sabbath, on the day after the Sabbath. Because Christ rose again from the dead on a Sunday. Now, I pointed out yesterday, Christ died on the 14th day of Nisan. Now, that was important. And he died exactly on the day when the lamb was slain in the Feast of Passover. On the 14th day of Nisan, the Lord died. The death of the Lord is connected with the date, not the day. So that we not have to be sure that he was crucified on a Friday or Saturday or any other day. But he was to be crucified on the 14th day of Nisan, and Jesus was crucified on the 14th day. Now, his resurrection was specified that it must be on the next day after the Sabbath. And therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ must rise again on the morrow after the Sabbath. And that was Sunday. And we read in Matthew 28, verse 1, that Jesus rose again from the dead at dawn on the first day of the week. See its fulfillment. And keep in mind that the feast, the instructions concerning the two feasts was given at least 2,000 years before even Christ was born. This is the wonder of the Word of God, so precise and so accurate. Right. The attributes of the feast. Now let's study what's to be done in the observation of the feast. Leviticus 23:17 gives us the various principles and the rules that must be observed in the keeping of this feast. And it is good for you to look at the passage at this time. It says that the loaves to be made from the harvesting of the wheat grain must be of fine flour. There must not even be a grit in the flour. There must not be anything that is spotty in the flour. Everything must be perfectly fine. Fine flour, because that speaks of the Lord in all his spotless nature. He is without sin and without blemish. It says also that the loaves were of 2/10 parts or 2/10 deals. All right? Now, they would speak of the superior measure of Christ. What do I mean? 10 is the number of responsibility. That's why we find in the Old Testament, 10 is often used. For example, in Daniel 1:12, Daniel asked the steward in charge of him, "Give me 10 days to prove myself that I need not have to eat of the king's meat or drink of the king's wine. Give me 10 days. And I prove myself that I trust in God. I need not have to feast upon the feast given to the king." And so, 10 days, a test of responsibility. Two is the number that shows how this responsibility is to be carried out summarily. For example, in Matthew 22, 37 to 40, again, we have 10 commandments. But we are told that these 10 commandments we can keep by keeping 2. All can be summed up in 2. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Keep these 2 commandments and you keep all the 10 commandments. 2/10 dues. It gives us the full measure of how the Lord Jesus Christ fully observed and kept the laws of God. So it must be made from 2/10 deals. These 2/10 deals are in the meal offering of the first fruits the full measure of the person of Christ, how he completely and perfectly satisfied God in every way. Again, we need to note a word, very small word, a special word in connection with the Feast of Weeks. 23:17. Look at it if you want, because it is so important. The meal offering that was given in connection with the Feast of First Fruits was called the new meal offering. The new meal offering. Why the new meal offering? Why? Now, before I explain that, let us acknowledge that this meal offering, because of its fine flour, because of its measure of 2 tenthews, indicates the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ, satisfying the Lord, his Father, in full measure. And he has presented the church. But is the church in full measure? Is the church perfect? That's where we need a new meal offering to represent the church. Because the meal offering, those of you who have studied Leviticus chapter 2, would have known and would have been told that the meal offering would be a picture of the perfection of Jesus Christ. The meal offering baked with fine flour, that would be the Lord Jesus Christ. And this, the Feast of Pentecost with the loaves, are to be a new meal offering. Why new? Let's look at a table of showbread. The table of showbread in the tabernacle also had the bread. And this bread was arranged in 2 rows. What would represent these 2 rows? Well, there are 12 loaves of bread, so to speak, unleavened bread, and they were stacked in 2 rows. We see the 12 tribes of Israel joined together and presented on the table as one unto the Lord. In 2 rows, chapter 24, verse 5 and 8, it says, set the 12 loaves in order, and they will be, reference to it being offered to the Lord, it says that, set it before the Lord. Them, that's what they were composed of, 12 tribes of Israel. It, they appeared as one before the Lord. Now, this is important as we shall consider the other aspects. If you look now at Ephesians 2:17, we also read, you who were afar off, and you who were near. Those who are afar off and those who were near now meet one. Who were those who were afar off? Jews. The Gentiles. Who were those who were near? The Jews. And they are made one in Ephesians chapter 2. Then in Acts chapter 15, when at the Council of Jerusalem, it was told that Peter had encounter with Cornelius, and there was blessing in his encounter with Cornelius, so that it's referred to as the Holy Spirit fell on them as it fell on us. Now, these are important words, because the Jews, the council at Jerusalem, could not believe that the Holy Spirit could fall upon Gentiles. They believed that Israel was the privileged one. Why should the Gentiles come into blessing? And Peter was able to say to the Council of Jerusalem that the Spirit fell on them, that during the time when Cornelius and his family came to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord fell on them. And it's as it fell on us at the beginning. When was that? Us at the beginning, on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down, the Jews were there. And so we find that it's the same Spirit that fell on Israel and as on Gentiles. Because God was now moving away from the Jews to calling out the Gentiles, the church. You shall bring out of your habitation two wave loaves of two tenth dews. They shall be of fine flour. One more thing, and very important. These loaves were made with leaven. Oh, before we go there, before we go there, the two loaves were one bread. Ephesians 2, Gentiles and Jews, God had made both one. In himself of two, one new man. That's what the two loaves represent. They are regarded as one. We being many are one bread. And that's why when we take of the bread, let us remember this. There is no discrimination, no male, no female, no born, nor free. All of us are one in Christ. The two loaves then were waved. The two loaves were waved before the Lord. Why waved? Now, I'm not sure how the bread was waved. It could be in a basket. It could be two loaves waved before the Lord. Whatever is important, it is to indicate that both have been reconciled into one body. Through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. All right. This is the important thing that I want to point out. The two loaves were baked with leaven. Chapter 23, verse 17. Please note, and I pointed out yesterday and even today, leaven is a symbol of sin. How could therefore the two loaves, which represent the church, which have been formed by the Holy Spirit, founded upon the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, be baked with leaven, symbol of sin? So that even in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, Paul says, purge out the leaven that is in you. For Christ, our sacrifice, for Christ, our Passover is our sacrifice. With leaven. That's interesting. The significance of leaven is always a symbol of sin, as we find in all these verses. For example, 1 Corinthians 5, I told you, we should purge out all that symbolizes sin in malice and wickedness. And that's why those of us in the church, when we come together, there should never be any malice. There should never be any wicked in thoughts against any one of us. Because all of us are one in Christ. It is also evil, reference to evil doctrine. That we should not allow evil doctrine to come into our midst. Because when evil doctrine comes into our midst, it is leaven in our church. And we must safeguard our church. Push it out. Leaven is referred to with reference to the Pharisees. In Matthew 23, 14, which is externalism. In other words, doing all the external rituals in our church gathering. Now, that is the leaven of the Pharisees, where we cannot even drink from a cup that is not properly clean, whereas the heart is very unclean. There is the leaven of the Sadducees, skepticism. They don't believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we cannot be in the church and not believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The leaven of the Herodians, where money, where materialism is more important than spiritual values. All these leaven must be purged out from our church, from our lives, if we are to be true to the real Feast of Weeks. Right. It is called the new meal offering. Why new? Well, firstly, it is because of the leaven. Let's go back. You have Leviticus chapter 2, the meal offering. Now let's go back. I'd like you to look at it. I want to look at it too. Leviticus chapter 2. The meal offering, the original meal offering. And what does it say? Verse 12. And you need to pay careful attention to the words again. Verse 12. As for the oblation of the first fruit, you shall offer them unto the Lord, but they shall not be burned on the altar for a sweet incense. Please note, the meal offering of first fruit must not be burnt upon the altar. Now look at verse 16. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it, part of the beaten grain thereof, and part of the oil thereof, and all the frankincense thereof of it is an oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Verse 12. The meal offering cannot be burned upon the altar. Verse 16. The meal offering must be burned upon the altar for a sweet savor offering unto the Lord. Why? What is the difference? One cannot. One can. Let's see the characteristics of these two offerings. The one that cannot. What are the characteristics? Verse 12. As for the oblation of the first fruit, you shall offer them unto the Lord, but they shall not be burned on the altar. Please note the pronouns used. Them, they. Plural in number. Now look at the one that is to be offered upon the altar. Verse 13. Every oblation of the meal offering shall thou season with salt. Verse 14. And if thou offer a meal offering of the first fruit unto the Lord, thou shalt offer for the meal offering of the first fruit green ears of grain, dried by fire, even grain beaten out of full ears. Verse 15, and thou shalt put oil upon it and lay frankincense thereon. Verse 16, and the priest shall burn the memorial of it. Please note, with respect to the second, it. With respect to the first, them. Respect to the first, not allowed to be a burnt offering because it is not pure. With respect to the second, it is a sweet savor offering and all are burnt upon the altar. Because the them refers to us, the meal offering of the church. The it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ, the meal, the first fruits of the meal offering, one. He is pure. He pleases the Lord. He can be burned upon the altar. It, but we cannot. And that's why this is the old meal offering. For us now, the new meal offering is of offering with leaven. That's why it's new, not the same as the in Leviticus chapter 2. The sin of leaven. In case something that I am just imagining, that my imaginative mind is too active, let me prove to you again. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 18, in the feast of Passover, no leaven must be seen. No leaven must be in the feast of Passover to be offered, because the Passover is appointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Purge out the leaven that is in you, for Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. That must have no leaven. In the meal offering, as we found out, it, no leaven. And Leviticus 2:11, no leaven at all. In the first fruits, again, Leviticus 23:12 and 13, no sin offering. And yet, in chapter 23, verse 17, the new offering has leaven. Not surprising. Every Christian that mixed up the church to form the loaf in the feast of first fruits has sinned. If any man says that he has no sin, he lies. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. Sin is also found in the church. And that's why in Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, with reference to the parables that the Lord Jesus Christ told, the woman had used leaven in that parable. Leaven was found there. Acts chapter 5, we find that there was Ananias and Sapphira committing sin in the church. So there is sin in the Christian, there is sin in the church, and that's why it is a new leaven. But the point is, in verse 18 of Leviticus 23, we are told that in spite of the new meal offering with leaven, it is to be burned upon the altar. Chapter 23 and verse 16. We read these very wonderful words. 23 and verse 16. Even unto the next day after the seventh Sabbath shall 50 days be offered, shall there be 50 days, and you shall offer a new meal offering. Verse 20. Verse 19, then you shall sacrifice one kid of the goats for a sin offering and two lambs for a sacrifice of peace offering. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruit for a wave offering. They shall be holy and the Lord for the priest. And you shall proclaim that same day that it may be an holy convocation unto you, you shall do no servile work, and so on. And so we find that this offering is still acceptable unto God, although there is leaven. All right. The wave offering is known as also as a wave offering, and it is to be waved together with the bread of the first fruits. In a basket, waved before the Lord. Now, somebody has suggested that when you wave, it means this: Lord, we receive from you, we now give it back to you. Lord, we receive from you, we now give it back to you. Acknowledging all is of God. The first fruits, therefore, because it's waved, would represent the perfection of Christ in the burnt offering that was given with regard to his love, the meal offering with regard to his life, and with the drink offering with regard to his joy. Remember yesterday I pointed out that the drink offering is only offered when it is to accompany all other offerings. And therefore we read in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, for the joy that is set before him, he endured the cross. So, the wave offering will represent the propitiation of Christ, the sin offering, his substitution in death, which accompanies the wave offering, to represent the product of Christ's offering. He is our peace. And above all the offerings were offered with the bread and waved with the bread of the first fruits. Right. As pointed out again yesterday, the first fruits was a free will offering. So was the Feast of Weeks. It is compulsory with one aspect. Let everyone lay by him in store. Now, you compare that with 1 Corinthians chapter 16, that we need to give the Lord an offering. It is voluntary, a tribute of a free will offering, says Leviticus Deuteronomy 16 verse 10. For if there be first a willing mind compared to 1 Corinthians, the amount as the Lord has blessed you, I'm referring to the offerings that you give every Sunday, as God has prospered him, the attitude, thou shalt rejoice, give willingly, joyfully, for God loveth a cheerful giver, the appointment in the place chosen, that when we come together on the first day of the week to remember the Lord, let us put our offerings together. It is in love. Leviticus 23:22, thou shalt not make clean rich. This is a very important verse. Verse 22 of Leviticus. At the end of the instructions concerning the feast of Pentecost, it says there, and when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest. Neither shalt thou gather thy gleanings of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the sojourner. I am the Lord. Clear instructions were given that when these people would gather together their harvest, they would not go to every corner in the field and clean up everything. Those in the corner, leave them. And if, as they collect the harvest in the field, some of them drop, these cleanings that drop, don't pick them up. Leave them. Why? So that after you have harvested the main harvest, then other strangers, sojourners who come by, the poor, the fatherless, they can come and collect them for themselves. Do not collect them. Think of the poor. Think of those who are in need. Is this a reminder to the church that we need to go out to reach out to the community who needs our love, who needs our charity, so to speak? So be gracious. Be generous to all this. It is in memory, and thou shalt remember that at one time you were slaves in Egypt and you were suffering. Now consider those who are suffering. Of your past, thou hast been a bondman in Egypt, and you were saved from sin, personal salvation. Right. So the feast of Passover fulfilled the Lord's death. The feast of unleavened bread, he was buried. The feast of first fruits, he rose again. Three important truths. And then the fourth, the result of all this, the formation of the church, the Feast of Weeks. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Today, we are come together to proclaim the death, burial, and especially the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the formation of the church. We are not here to remember Easter. We are not here to remember a pagan goddess. We are here to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, buried for us, rose again for us, and who will come again for us on the cross. Even so, we should also walk in newness of life, that if we believe in all this, we should become changed Christians. Even so, we should walk in newness of life, and this is the challenge. And with this, I complete. Thank you for your patience, and I do trust that we have been edified as we meditate these 3 days upon the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, and our responsibility as the church to witness for him to go out into the world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word. We thank you, Lord, for the remembrance of the Lord during this time when we could gather together to break bread and to drink of the cup in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, who was buried, and who rose again, and who will come again. Lord, keep us to be faithful, that even as we were baptized unto his death, burial, and resurrection, we now should walk in newness of life. Bless thy people together, Lord, even as we continue this day, serving thee, that we may offer unto thee the offering of a sacrifice, of a sweet savor, well-pleasing unto thee. We give thee thanks, Lord, in Christ's precious name. Amen.